and welcome to The Big Fight. I'm Nidhi Razdan. For several weeks now, India has been engulfed in a hate wave where everything from what we eat to what we wear to the festivals we celebrate have all been communalized. It's not that these things haven't happened in India before, but what is happening at this time seems to be particularly disturbing, where communities are literally being pulled apart from forces on various sides. The question is, why is this happening at this moment? What is fueling this hate wave and what can we do to stop it? In recent weeks, it's religious festivals in particular which have become a flashpoint. So you had on the day of Ram Navami incidents of communal violence in as many as 7 states in the country. This has not really been happening for so many years now. And then you had, of course, what happened in Delhi last week in Jahangirpuri in northwest Delhi, where a Hanuman Jayanti procession turned violent and we saw what happened there. Joining us on the panel tonight, we have a range of political voices and others to talk about this, how to stop the hate wave. We have with us Yogendra Yadav, Priyanka Chaturvedi, Member of Parliament, Vijay Jolly of the BJP, Jasmine Shah, spokesperson of the Aam Aadmi Party, Geeta Bhatt, political analyst and supporter of the BJP, all joining us tonight. Yogendra Yadav, let me get the opening comments from you. What is fueling this at this time? The BJP has argued, and JP Nadda, the BJP president, has argued this week that there have been a series of communal riots that have taken place when the Congress was in power, that communal tensions essentially are not something that are unique to what is happening under the BJP's rule. That's true, isn't it? So then what makes this current wave particularly disturbing and different?
Nidhi, you rightly call it a hate wave. Let's add to the expression the fact that there's nothing spontaneous about it. There is nothing religious about it. Communal riots are not a new thing in India. Communal riots did take place at a very large scale when Congress was in. And in many instances, the involvement of the ruling establishment and the Congress party was truly established. So, and if anyone says communal riots done in this country for the first time, that would of course be a lie. But what we are witnessing right now is a clear design and a pattern. What is the pattern? The pattern is organize, make use of an opportunity of a festival. Now, Ram Navami is one of the most, peaceful, quiet kind of a celebration that Hindus have had. Shobha Yatras have been done earlier too. But Ram Navami is not one festival which is known for aggression, a possibility of violence or anything of that kind. So step one, use the occasion of a religious festival. Step two, organize a procession, which is not an ordinary procession. Procession is violent both vocally, verbally, and also physically. Now, in many of these processions, we have seen people carrying lathi, baseball bats, firearms, talwars, all kinds of things which are completely unknown. This is not what Ram Navami is known for. Step three is then to make sure that the religious procession passes through a Muslim locality in front of a mosque. Step four is then to stop there, provoke. If there is a retaliation, then of course, a one-sided action against that community. If there is no retaliation, well, the job is done. The ritual of humiliation is over. This is what has been happening, and this is practically what has happened everywhere, as if it's scripted. This is a pattern. This is a design. This cannot happen without a script. And who has written the script is obvious from the fact that the Prime Minister of this country has been completely silent.
Let me get the BJP to comment on that. Mr. Vijay Jolly, Mr. Yogendra Yadav has actually very sort of clearly pointed out the pattern that we see here over what has happened in the last few weeks. Does the BJP need to be more vocal and its leadership need to be more vocal, starting with the Prime Minister, in saying that this is not acceptable?
You see, there is a sinister attempt to disturb communal harmony during Hindu festivals in India. And of course, the Hanuman Jayanti procession in Jahagirpuri on Saturday, 16th of April, attacked and dispersed after stone pelting in arson, is provocative and regrettable. But the narrative which has been formed in the media and the social media around is as if the Hindu Hanuman Jayanti processionists themselves organized attacks on their own procession, which is totally false. And I can only say there is a Rohingya and Bangladeshi migrants' role which needs to be proved. A small incident happens in Jahagirpuri and the echoes are heard from across the border from the Honorable New Prime Minister of Pakistan, Mr. Shehbaz, that the Muslims are under attack in India. Muslims are my equal brothers and sisters. We Hindus and Muslims, Sikhs and Christians, Buddhists and Jews, we will argue with each other, we will differ with each other, we will love each other, we will fight with each other, but when there is a sinister attempt to malign my party, the Bharatiya Janata Party, and the good governance of my Prime Minister, Mr. Narendra Modi, from across the border, and a call to internationalize the issue in Geneva and United Nations, it is regrettable.
Mr. Jolly, can I just ask you that you're absolutely right, violence is not justified, and I don't think anyone on the panel would agree to that. But would you say it's unfortunate that many of these religious processions that have been taken out have people in them who are carrying weapons and being very abusive towards another religion? We've seen those videos and they're very, very, they're quite ghastly actually.
You see, we do not support any sort of violence from any section of the Indian society. They might belong to any religious cult in the country. We are a peaceful country, and the majority of the Hindus, which constitute around 79.8% of the total populace, I've never heard that stones are pelted from temples on any Muslim brother's procession which goes through the area. I only say some misguided youth which are anti-social elements, whether it is Ansar or Aslam, who are known bad characters of the area with various police cases pending against them.
Mr. Jolly,
is
that also unfortunate that these processions themselves have turned, with people infiltrated? Should we investigate who are these people who are part of these Hindu processions carrying swords and pistols and knives and, making abusive slogans? Should that be investigated as well, along with what you said earlier?
You see, normally in India, whether it is Hindus or whether it is Muslims or whether it is Sikhs, they always brandish their swords, they always brandish their lathis, but they do not provoke others to attack on them. So this is a part of the Indian historical culture.
To carry knives and pistols, is it, on Ram Navami?
No, that's simply false.
Yogendra Yadav, before I come to open this up to the panel, he wants to come in. Yes, Mr. Yadav?
For once, I actually agree with Mr. Jolly that yes, there is a sinister attempt to disturb communal harmony of this country. That far, I completely agree with him. But it must be a very strange, sinister attempt in which these Ansars and whatever, the only two names Mr. Jolly could utter, that they are so powerful that they managed to give talwar and firearms to Hindus. I mean, the Ansars must be very, very powerful to do that. The simple fact is Ram Navami Shobha Yatra is standard. No, it's part of the things that happen. I've seen it as a child. But there has never been reports of Ram Navami Shobha Yatra, people carrying swords and firearms, pistols. Can't we even talk about it? This is weird.
That's what I'm saying. Haven't heard of that in any Ram Navami Yatra before. But one second. Let me get to Jasmine Shah of the Aam Aadmi Party. The biggest criticism we're seeing of the AAP at the moment, Jasmine Shah, is where is the Delhi Chief Minister? Where is the Aam Aadmi Party's wholehearted condemnation of this? Yes, you're, you know, exchanging words on television and on Twitter and, you know, calling the BJP names. But where was the party's leadership on the ground in Jahangirpuri? There is a criticism today that the Aam Aadmi Party is not being front and center in condemning this, in standing with the people of Jahangirpuri on all sides because of your politics, Jasmine Shah.
That's absolutely false, Nidhi. And certain sections of political parties may want to say that. But from day one, from the hour the Jahangirpuri riots broke out, we were the first ones to say that no community should be targeted, fair coup should happen, and we were the first to appeal for peace. And this is not the history and the culture and legacy of Delhi. Having said that, I would like to underscore a point that we are today standing at a unique moment or era in Indian politics. So far, we had found that criminals would be there in almost all the traditional parties. One MLA here, one MP there. But today we have arrived at a point where an entire political party, the largest political party, that is the BJP, has been defined by who is a better and a bigger criminal and goon and than the other. It has become almost an essential qualification if you have to promote through the ranks of political party, in which is BJP. And I'll tell you why. Today, you look at the Delhi president of BJP, Adesh Gupta. He broke, within broad daylight, he breaks into a government office, the Delhi Jal Board, in 2020 December, breaks all the furniture and creates ruckus there. No action on him whatsoever. He gets promoted in the party. 2 weeks back, the house of the sitting chief minister was attacked by the BJP Yuva Morcha leaders in the presence of their MP Tejasvi Surya. What happens? They get bail. They are welcomed and they are given garland by the BJP. You know, I was almost laughing when Mr. Vijay Jolly said, we have no tolerance to criminals. Sir, you are seen celebrating and welcoming criminals who are on record, who have created ruckus in front of CM's house and, you know, threatened his family. You have no face to show today. And that is the kind of politics we are against. On one side, we have the Aam Aadmi Party that is talking about peace, talking about real issues of the people of the country. And here's BJP, which has no agenda, no answers to the real issues of the people.
Before I get
so
the BJP
every day in every corner
that,
of India,
Jasmine
they create
Shah,
riots.
Just please tell me, where was Mr. Arvind Kejriwal in Jahangirpuri? Why wasn't he there to go and meet people? Is Jahangirpuri not a part of Delhi?
Nidhi, he has always stood together with the people of Delhi every time in their every hour of need. But in the current charged political climate that there is, you know, you ask me the question or you ask the home minister of this country the question who's in charge of the law and order situation. Where is he? Why is he not standing and making sure that the law and order here today, the law and order agencies are working in cahoots with the political party defined by goons and criminals to disturb peace. No questions are being asked. But the sitting CM of Delhi is ensuring that all support is provided. Today, three of our MLAs are on the ground. The local MLA, the MLAs around Jahangirpuri, they're all there with the families, with the community of Jahangirpuri.
Look, the fact is, and Mr. Jolly, I'll come to you in just a second. Priyanka Chaturvedi, you know, the only people actually politically on the ground on day one was the CPM, which doesn't even have stakes in any election in Delhi. It's zero in Delhi, right? So what does it say, that even the opposition doesn't have a platform with which these people can express themselves. The opposition today is now in the days after Brinda Karat was there is suddenly now going to Jahangirpuri. Where was everybody on day one?
I agree with you. I agree with this question. Where was everybody on day one, including the government of Delhi? However, Nidhi, I just want to be very honest about this. I haven't been coming on any discussion which talk about the divisive character that has been established across the country as a political model to get votes. It is an established fact. However, I have a few divergent points to make here. Since when did it become a problem for Hindus to carry out a procession? Since when did it become so provocative for Hindus to carry out a provocation to get a retaliation which is so violent in nature, which leads to violence? So if there is a law and order issue, it should be handled by the law process. You cannot start taking law into your own hand and then we start choosing sides or picking sides. That is the unfortunate reality of the populace also that we have become. We choose to take sides in a time where we forget that there is a law and order mechanism in place. So these people were making saying some violent slogans. They were brandishing their swords. there is a legal process to ensure that all of them are booked and investigated. Since when did it become okay to open fire at people and then say we were provoked into doing this? There has to be some measure of...
It's not right at all. And it's also not right to have abusive, violent processions either.
Nidhi, I have to complete. That is why I have not been coming on discussions. Because everybody has their point of view, but when it comes to a point of view which is extremely honest about being a secular nation, it becomes a problem. And the secular, constitutional, democratic nation will have to respect its law and order. And whichever side is not following that law and order, they will have a price to pay. My part two of the problem is that your legality, when there is a legal process which is being followed and criminals are being identified, problem makers are being identified, troublemakers are being identified, how can you use bulldozers to bulldoze their homes? They have been living there, even if it's illegal, they have been living there illegally for years perhaps. What provoked you to get into action immediately after this violent episode when things are anyway in a situation which is very sensitive and political in nature and highly being politicized? And that is extremely unfortunate, where you're breaking all rules, the constitutional norms and the responsibility entrusted upon you by the voters of this country to feel free to go damage homes, to destroy, to destruct, and also bypass Supreme Court stay order. So what is the message that we are sending across? That if you break the line, we will not carry out an investigation on who's right, who's wrong. We will just come down with bulldozers and, just destroy your homes. These are two separate issues which I wanted to talk about and put on the table. And with all honesty and fairness, if we are a secular nation, we have to be tolerant to all religions. And you cannot take law and order in your own hands. And if there is a law and order issue, it has to be tackled and investigated in a free and fair manner, not in the arbitrary fashion that the Bharatiya Janata Party has done in this particular case, Madhya Pradesh, Gujarat, Uttar Pradesh.
Mehmood Paracha is a senior advocate with the Supreme Court who joins us as well. Mehmood Paracha, is it as simple as just being a mere law and order issue, as Priyanka Chaturvedi is saying, or has she got a point there? How do you see it?
I see Priyanka Chaturvedi Sahiba has a point, but doesn't describe the entire narrative. And unless we people start calling a spade, however dark or however ugly that is, we will not be able to catch hold of the problem, and we will be discussing like this to eternity. So the problem now is that there is a group which is called RSS, which believes that Manusmriti has to be implemented in India, which believes that Hindu Rashtra is the only way of implementing Manusmriti, and that is what is happening in the country. All these things are planned as a conspiracy from the highest level. If we don't see that, we will not be able to understand what is happening. And the complicity of the police and the government officials is only indicated. Do you think communities are fighting, even in Jahangirpuri and rest of the country, even in Northeast Delhi riots? These were organized people who were cadres of RSS and BJP. We've got at least 32 people from RSS arrested in Delhi riots cases. So these were not communities fighting. This is a organized cadre which, by way of a conspiracy, a pre-planned conspiracy, is attacking not just the Muslims. And Muslims are being attacked, I think, not so much. It is the scheduled caste and scheduled tribes which are being attacked in the country, which doesn't come into public notice because nobody is covering that. Muslims, yes, of course, the Manusmriti followers themselves want that there should be all the atrocities on Muslims should be reported so that it becomes polarized and communalized, and it benefits them. We will discuss Muslim atrocities being committed on Muslims, and it will benefit them only. However well we may articulate the atrocities being committed on Muslims. So the point is, number one atrocity in the country is happening against the scheduled caste and scheduled tribe. Then number three is Muslims. So unless we understand this conspiracy, we will not be able to understand what is happening. It is not community, it is not Hindus, it is not so-called upper caste Hindus also who are fighting. These are some cadres which go there, and these cadres, these are foot soldiers. They will be sacrificed also. They are brandishing weapons. They are attacking. It is not the entire procession which is doing this attacking business. It is the corrupt police officers who are accompanying these cadres. Like Mr. Kapil Mishra, when he went there in Northeast NB, he started the attack. One DCP was accompanying him as a security guard. That is what the conspiracy is. Unless we start discussing it like this, I don't think we will catch the real problem at all. And please, for God's sake, stop saying that this is atrocities being committed against Muslims. It is not so. It is Manu Wadis attacking SCSTs and OBCs and minorities. That is, and women also.
So, as you said, you're calling a spade, Mehmood Paracha. Let me ask Geeta Bhatt that as I asked the question of the opposition, where were you? Where is the government? Why? Actually, it's a good point. Where is the Prime Minister? Where is the Home Minister? Law and order comes under the Home Minister in Delhi. Why aren't we seeing them go and talk to people?
They are organizing this. That is what I'm saying.
But that's why I'm asking Geeta Bhatt. Why aren't they out there to heal the wounds of people? We're very, very polarized today, deeply polarized.
Well, Nidhi, I think the administration and the Delhi police, they are taking care of the situation, and we have seen it ourselves that they tried their best to manage and salvage the situation. However, I want to put forth a few points over here. One is that time and, you know, it is being portrayed that as if the Indian society and rather the Hindu society by Mr. Paracha, who I am very sorry to say, but has in the previously given press conferences announcing that there will be firearm training which will be given from mosques in Lucknow. With this kind of a background, but at present, what is being portrayed is that it is the Hindu society which itself is trying, a section of it is trying to, you know, overpower and create atrocities on other sections of the Hindu society as well as on Muslims. But the fact is, Nidhi, that the Hindu society has never believed in uniformity. In fact, what is considered to be the first book of the mankind, very categorically says, Ekam Sat Vipra Bahudha Vadanti. There is only one truth and there are many ways to reach it. Let great ideas come from all around. But at the same time, what has happened, you know, in the last couple of weeks is something which is definitely disturbing. And why it is disturbing is because the Indian society does not believe in dividing people in believers and non-believers. Then why is it that these kind of situations are rising where it is very clear that there is a pre-planning where there are mosques, there are buildings, where there are stones, acid bombs, petrol bombs, which have already been burned. It is very clear. You know, one procession, taking out one procession cannot ignite communal clashes.
Have you seen some of those processions?
It is very, Geeta, yes, I have seen. I have seen many processions.
Yeah.
And I would like to also tell you, Nidhi, please give me time. I very patiently listen to everyone. I would also like to tell that across India, there are many communities where in procession dances, you know, arms are used. In fact, in Uttarakhand, in more than 2,000 villages, Pandav Nritya is organized where it is believed that Pandavas, they gave away their arms before they moved towards heaven. So therefore, they
with
in fact flash all these arms. So,
with abuse, I can't repeat the videos we've seen, which I know you've seen as well, where they are openly abusing the Muslim community. Is that what you do?
Let me just put forth, I want to put forth two very, you know, short examples in front of you. And first example is that in Hubli, just a few days back, there was some provocative post on Facebook, and there was the people from Muslim community, they were very angered about it, and they told the police that they must take action. The person who had put up the post was arrested, was put in jail, and the community stood in front of the police station saying that that person needs to be handed over to us. And after that, what happened? They started, started an attack, throwing stones on them, and there were several policemen who got injured in it. What happened in Khargone? From Khargone Chowk, a procession, peaceful procession had started, and just 200 meters from there is a mosque where when it reached over there, an altercation started over there. And after that, how it happened that, you know, within 3-4 kilometers of that area in certain pockets, there were communal clashes and cars were being burned down, houses were being attacked. How is it that he just
Geeta,
a single
Geeta
position
Bhatt,
taking
the
out
point,
is causing it?
No, no, one second. If something has happened in Hooghly, if something has happened in Hooghly as you described, that is wrong. That is absolutely wrong, and it is not justified. I am asking you, you've seen the videos of some of these processions over the last few weeks. purportedly by, you know, support apparently religious Hindu processions. Okay, I wouldn't call people who use that kind of language Hindus, frankly, because I don't believe that they would use that kind of language. But do you think that that is right? Carrying weapons and giving galis to the other community?
Well, you know, there are, if you have seen, there are processions which take place even in the month of Ramzan. I can
It's so difficult to condemn this, to say that this is wrong, this is not what Hindus stand for.
Please, please allow me to complete. If it is abusive, it needs to be condemned, but then it needs to be condemned irrespective of the community. But what I am saying is, does this give, if it has happened, if you're saying Jai Shri Ram in front of a mosque, is it provocative? Is this provocative? But you know that's not what's being said. You know that we can't repeat those abusive slogans here.
And no, nothing justifies violence. Nothing justifies violence in the name of retaliation.
And shoot on people and, you know, hurt policemen. That is what has happened, what we saw in Jahangirpur. I mean, let me get
Yogendra Yadav in on this. Yogendra Yadav.
Geeta ji is absolutely right that there have been some traditional festivals where weapons are used. She mentioned one instance. I also know that during Gurpurabs among the Sikhs, there is a tradition of playing Gatakas with swords. And there is a, these things are defined. There is a discipline to it. And these are well known. I challenge Geeta ji to show me if this was ever the tradition of Ram Navami or the tradition of Hanuman Shobha Yatra. This has never been the case, number one. Number two, saying Jai Shri Ram in front of a mosque or saying Allahu Akbar in front of a mandir is not a crime. But to say Hindustan mein rehna hai to Jai Shri Ram kehna hoga is deliberate provocation. It is illegal. It is inciting hatred. Saying similar things outside a temple should also be a crime. Now, my friends remember one tiny part of the truth. What the BJP is saying is plain lie. But what Aam Aadmi Party and Shiv Sena are doing is also a lie, because they are very carefully speaking one-fourth of the truth. Jasmine Shah probably forgets that the Chief Minister of Delhi has actually spoken. He has tweeted about it. And what is his tweet? His tweet says, Hanuman ji ki shobha yatra ke dauran pathrav ki ghatna bahut dukhad hai. That's all. Now, that's true. Pathrav bahut dukhad hai. Should those people be punished? Yes, of course. Anyone indulging in stone throwing, whatever the provocation, should be punished. But the Chief Minister of Delhi, should you also not say ki masjid ke samne khade hoke is tarah ke nare lagana, वहां भगवा झंडा लगाने की कोशिश करना, ये भी बहुत दुखद है. Should you not say that in my state, carrying firearms during a Ram Janmabhoomi, Ram Navami Yatra, is ये गलत है? Should you also not say that the procession itself was illegal, something that Delhi police says? How can we say one-fourth of the truth? And I'm particularly disappointed about Aam Aadmi Party, since I happen to be part of it. Because actually, it is the Aam Aadmi Party, not even the BJP, which brought in the Bangladeshi Rohingya factor for the first time. Please allow me to speak. It is Aam Aadmi Party which brought in the Bangladeshi Rohingya angle to it yesterday. All four of them spoke. Manish Sisodia, Sanjay Singh, Raghav Chadda, and I'm very sorry to say even Atishi. All of them spoke. And what are they saying? BJP is responsible for promoting Atankwad in Delhi by settling Rohingya and Bangladeshi. So what are you saying? You are saying Bangladeshi and Rohingyas are Atankwadi. And what are you indicating? You are once again putting the finger on one community. I cannot think of something.
I want Jasmine Shah to respond to that. I was actually going to ask you about that. Okay, Priyanka. All right, let Priyanka answer and then Jasmine. Yogendra Yadav, stay with us. Yes. Yes, Priyanka, go ahead.
You know, when I was listening to Mr. Yadav, Mr. Yadav was issuing a certificate of lies on the basis of his judgmental call, exactly like how Bharatiya Janata Party does when someone does not agree with their point of view by calling them unpatriotic and head to Pakistan. I find this extremely unfortunate that he's so intolerant to any other party's view. And if he is so intolerant, then perhaps he shouldn't be participating in debates which are talking about tolerance. That's point one. I made this about a law and order issue, and that is an issue. And secondly, he said something about it is an illegal thing to say Jai Shri Ram outside a masjid.
No, I did not say that.
With all due respect.
No, no, I did not say that.
No, you just said that. You just said that
you are inciting violence. You have a hearing problem, Priyanka. Please check it.
You are inciting
violence. Check the recording of the program.
This is what you just said. Yeah, I will check it.
No, no.
So I
will stand
for it.
Let me repeat what I said, Priyanka.
Yes, please repeat.
So
that I can also clarify another point of view.
Let me repeat what I said.
When you talk about living in a secular nation.
Nidhi, I would like to respond.
One second, Jasmine. I'm coming to you. One second.
This program is
being recorded, has been given to levy allegations on us.
He did not say that. He did not say that saying Jai Shri Ram is the problem. It was what was attached to that. Ki is desh mein rehna hai, to Jai Shri Ram kehna hai. Is that all right, Priyanka?
Kehna hoga. That is what.
That is not all right. What he said was, and he can also check the recording, was when you say Jai Shri Ram, it's provocative
no,
in nature.
No, he didn't say that. He said
no,
the full slogan.
No.
So maybe,
you have a hearing problem.
So maybe
you probably missed it.
No, maybe. My problem, sir, is not for you to elaborate. I have a problem with how you are sitting on judgmental call, calling me a liar and calling my party a pack of lies. I have a stance to take, and that is why I've not been participating in debates, because nuance is clearly lost when you're discussing something to do with a secular nation about the law and order machinery and the failure of such law and order machinery. And we have to look at it from all angles, and that is what I was doing. And if that is unpalatable for you, I'm too sorry. I could not please you enough to not get that certificate that I just got from you. Thank you.
Jasmine Shah, I was going to ask you the same question. How has this become a debate about Rohingyas, Bangladeshis, and, you know, why is the AAP sort of putting a question mark then on the entire Muslim community with this dog whistle statements?
Absolutely not, Nidhi. And I think these kinds of selective reading, I'm very sad with the selective reading that Mr. Yogendra Yadav is making, almost purposefully cherry-picking a line to interpret something completely else. He said that the CM of Delhi, within the first hour of the violence in Jahangirpuri breaking out, he issued that statement. At that point in time, the only information that was there that there is a riot, there is a patrao happening, who's throwing stones at whom was not known. And he appealed for peace at that point in time. Sorry, Mr. Yadav, if you expect the CM of Delhi to tweet every hour with the update of what is the latest position. But we are categorical in calling out the fake and the fraud that BJP is propagating on the people of this country. Nidhi, give me enough time because this is important. You brought about the issue of Rohingya.
Time, please also
time and again,
was the next
for the last 2 years, from the time... Mr. Yadav, please have the courtesy for me to respond to what the statements you made. For the last 2 years, since Delhi elections, starting with Shaheen Bagh, this myth of Rohingyas and Bangladeshis, day after day, BJP leaders have been calling that out almost every day in Delhi. We challenged them. Yesterday, when we said we challenged them that you are in power in the national capital. The entire law and order machinery is under you. And if today you are saying that Rohingyas are unsettled in all parts of Delhi, then please go find them and deal with them with the truest extent of law. You know, take them through the justice system. But for the last 7 years, with a so-called powerful PM, with a so-called powerful home minister, if they are only indulging in this kind of talk, then somebody needs to call them out. And it's reality that, you know, it is by these statements, this is the track record of what BJP has achieved. In the last 5 years, from 2016 to 2020, 3,400 communal riots have happened in India, highest in the history of India in a five-year duration. And that is what the legacy of this hate and gundaism that BJP is propagating in every corner of the country. Somebody needs to call them out. And it is only my party that is calling them out in the strictest term. No other party is doing that.
Well, actually, that's not true, but let Vijay Jolly wants to respond to you.
Can I respond to this?
Yeah, one second, Mr. Yadav. Vijay Jolly's got his hand up. Yes.
You see, I heard everyone with rapid attention because the audio of my mic was not clear. But now, since it is clear, I wish to add to this whole big fight debate today. Is it not true that the accused Ansar, the conspirator of Jahangirpuri, riots is a police history cheater, and he is also a known armed supporter. Can you see? I wish to show to all your viewers on this big screen. Aam Aadmi supporter Ansar. And is it also not true that Aslam, who fired at the Hanuman Jayanti procession, is also involved in murder and robberies and was a known protester during anti-CAA and NRC protest at Shaheen Bagh.
He has been campaigning for you in your elections. These are the photos. He is wearing a BJP, the patta and the topi, and he is standing along with your MLAs and councillors. It is a known fact that he is your agent, and this is nothing but a grand riot that you have initiated.
Jasmine, you are in the habit of speaking lies. A peaceful demonstration at the Chief Minister's residence against the misstatement of the Chief Minister on Kashmir.
It was a peaceful demonstration where you break into the house of the Chief Minister.
There was no lucky
strike.
And still you call
the High Court is on record to say that these are ghouls and they have no position in the
society.
Only BJP could welcome
them. The Aam Aadmi Party leaders in the capital are spreading the concept of gundaism. This is not a right attribution to people who are in power and we are in opposition in the capital. Please correct your language. Please do not provoke us and do not speak the false lies and the narratives which you have been
and you are being supported by the leaders. Because we're getting now into this sort of minutiae, tutu meme. We have Asir Khan Habib, well-known historian, joining us as well. I just want to focus in the last few minutes on what we can do to move forward from here. Irfan Habib Saab, I mean, I know you're watching what is happening in the country with a lot of anguish. Is there a way we can come back from this? That this country can come back from this? Because we can't allow ourselves to be divided on, you know, on these lines any further, can we?
I think for me, the disaster of this whole in this whole episode, particular episode in Jahangir Puri, has been the lack of empathy. People have not bothered about the loss of livelihood, the innocent poor people. Now I see here political parties owning and disowning somebody called Ansar. He can be Aam Aadmi Party. Today, people change parties overnight. He may be in BJP at some point of time. He may be in AAP at some point of time. So that's not the issue. The point is, what is happening? How things have happened? How people have faced bulldozers? Now, during the festival season, people have lost their livelihoods. They are all poor people. So I'm extremely sorry that people are not bothered about the suffering of the people. They are still fighting for political battles, and probably that is objective. That is how people are polarized. And somebody just said, "Don't provoke." People are provoked already. You know, I don't think anybody needs provocation at all, because whatever is happening, the whole country is watching.
Absolutely.
And this is happening in the capital.
Mehmood Paracha, I just want to get Mehmood Paracha in on that. You know, how important then, Mehmood Paracha, does the role of the judiciary become? Because we are seeing that, frankly, look at the people who made hate speeches like that, Yati Narsinghanand, who was arrested in a hate speech case in Haridwar in Uttarakhand, got bail. Bail condition was you're not going to make a hate speech again, and goes ahead and does exactly that in Delhi a couple of weeks later and is yet to be arrested for it. So is there a certain impunity that people think that they can get away with stuff because the courts aren't really going to do much, or they might look the other way, or they'll just take their time to act?
The four sitting Supreme Court judges have held a press conference and told the people of the country that we are under pressure. I would not want to say anything more on that score. What is required is, once again, at the cost of repetition, I would say that you have to distinguish between the procession and a few cadres of RSS and BJP inside the procession. The entire procession was not doing the mischief. These cadres, along with the police officials, corrupt police officials, were doing the mischief. The weapons are not the problem. The cadres, which have been sent by their high command, sitting at the highest level, at Nagpur and Delhi, they are the problems. They are the problem, unless you identify that. So judiciary and a channel like yours, they are also falling into the narrative of Hindu Muslims. That is the problem. It is not a Hindu Muslim problem. The problem is they are trying to bring in Hindu Rashtra. For that, Muslims have to be the first target, visible first target. But the atrocities which are being committed are far more on scheduled caste and scheduled tribe. Let me tell you this. And apart from the so-called three upper caste, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, everybody else is a Shudra or Avarna. So that is the problem. Unless we address the problem, unless we keep seeing this as a Hindu, I'm saying with full sense of responsibility that even the so-called Savarnas, they are not communal. Only the Kadas are communal. That distinction, unless we make, even the judiciary is falling into that trap. Everybody is falling into that trap. The problem is my friend sitting, Mr. Jolly, and his party and his parent organization, RSS, and their devious plan of implementing Hindu Rashtra after demolishing the sacred document that is Constitution of India.
Let me ask our panelists, what do we do? How do we repair this? It's a long project. Irfan Habib, if you had a solution, what are the small things that we can do? At this time, Irfan Habib, you have to go back to the constitutional values.
No, you have nothing else. That is the document which needs to be kept alive. You have kept that in abeyance. You think you do things which are totally contrary to that book, though we all the time talk about it. But what exactly are we doing? We are doing exactly opposite of what the Constitution tells us to do. No? So the point is, you need to bring in empathy. You need to bring in care. You need to bring in respect for each other. Actually, majority of the people want to live in peace. All Hindus and Muslims, they want to live with love, with empathy, with care with each other. It is actually a section of our population which is incited to do things which run contrary to the Constitution, to the spirit of the Constitution. And unfortunately, the people in power are looking the other way all the time. No? Why is something like this was allowed to happen in a place like Delhi? It shouldn't happen anywhere.
Absolutely.
And it should happen in the capital.
Well, the point is, it is allowed to happen.
We all know that something like this is happening. There is no proper statement from anyone who is responsible for governance.
Right. Yogendra Yadav.
In the long run, yes, we need to improve the relationship between Hindus and Muslims. Yes, they have had a history of affection, respect, co-living. But they have also had a history of mistrust and suspicion, which needs to be bridged, drawing upon our cultural heritage. But that's a long-term project. Immediately, two things are required. Number one, the judiciary has to intervene at this stage. Otherwise, we've lost our constitution. A constitution is a constitution only as long as it is enforced. And this is going to be a test case. Number two, because this hatred is not spontaneous, it is politically generated. Therefore, public has to be mobilized to defend the republic. And my proposal is that against this army, troll army, which is spreading hatred, we need to create a truth army. Nidhi, that's where we need to begin, by creating a truth army in this country.
All right. Geeta Bhatt, wanted to ask you that, do you think it would help if the Prime Minister of this country, who is everybody's Prime Minister, would speak up and say a few words that would heal these wounds? Is that something you think he should do?
Well, I'm sure the Prime Minister, as and when time will be there, he will definitely speak. But what is important is that, the society, it needs to really take the note that we Indians, as a country, we have suffered enough. In 1947, we have lost more than 10 lakhs of society, which decided that they cannot be secular. And they needed their own religious identity and religious space, a separate land to live. Now, therefore, it is very important that the communities within the societies, they need to be tolerant towards each other. And we need to really truthfully examine and see that where this radicalization, this fanaticism is coming from.
All right. I'm assuming you're talking about on every side and not just about Muslims here. since we're talking about radicalization across the board. But Jasmine Shah, quick last word.
Maybe how do we heal from here? I completely agree with Mr. Habib that what people want in the long run is peace. They want to live in peace with their neighbors. They want jobs. They want health. They want education. And for this to happen, unfortunately, there is only one recipe in today's India. They need to boycott political parties that are fueling hate with every passing day in every corner of India. And that is the BJP. Today, what defines BJP is exclusively a party of goons and criminals. And in contrast, you have Aam Aadmi Party that is actually trying to address the issues of people and is full of honest and learned people. And people need to say that enough is enough. You know, no amount of false narratives they will fall for. And, you know, people who are openly accepting and making it a norm that, you know, it's okay to go and create ruckus and you will be welcomed and you will be promoted in a party, they have to be socially boycotted. I'm sorry, there is no other recipe for the mess that we are in. And day after day, you know, this anger, this wave of anger is only going to increase until these kind of political parties do not face the music and the polling ballot.
Have to leave it there today. Very, very sort of contentious issues and a very long road ahead that we're staring at when it comes to this hate wave. Thank you very much to all of you for joining us.